Falcons of Narrabedla by Marion Zimmer Bradley. Chapter 1. Voltage from Nowhere. Somewhere on the crags above us, I heard a big bird scream. I turned to Andy, knee-deep in the icy stream beside me. "There's your eagle. Probably smells that cougar I shot yesterday." I started to reel in my line, knowing what my brother's next move would be. "Get the camera, and we'll try for a picture." We crouched together in the underbrush, watching as the big bird of prey wheeled down in a slow spiral toward the dead cougar. Andy was trembling with excitement, the camera poised against his chest, his eyes glued in the image finder. "Golly," he whispered, almost prayerfully. "6-foot wingspread, maybe more." The bird screamed again, warily, head cocked into the wind. We were to leeward. The scent of the carrion masked our enemy's smell from him. The eagle failed to scent or to see us, swooping down and dropping on the cougar's head. Andy's camera clicked twice. The eagle thrust in its beak. A red-hot wire flared in my brain. The bird! The bird! I leaped out of cover, running swiftly across the 10-foot clearing that separated us from the attacking eagle, my hand tugging automatically at the hunting knife in my belt. Andy's shout of surprised anger was a faraway noise in my ears as the eagle started away with flapping, angry wings, then in fury swept down at me, pinions beating around my head. I heard and felt the wicked beak dart in and thrust blindly upward with the knife, ripped, slashing, hearing the bird's scream of pain and the flapping of wide wings. A red haze spun around me. Then the screaming eagle was gone, and Andy's angry grip was on my shoulder, shaking me roughly. His voice, furious and frightened, was hardly recognizable. "Mike! Mike, you darned idiot! Are you all right? You must be crazy!" I blinked, rubbing my hand across my eyes. The hand came away wet. I was standing in the clearing, the knife in my hand red with blood. Bird blood. I heard myself ask, stupidly, "What happened?" My brother's face came clear out of the thickness in my mind, scowling wrathfully. "You tell me what happened. Mike, what in the devil were you thinking about? You told me yourself that an eagle will attack a man if he's bothered. I had him square in the camera when you jumped out of there like a bat out of a belfry and went for the eagle with your knife. You must be clean crazy." I let the knife drop out of my hand. "Yeah," I said heavily. "Yeah, I guess I spoiled your picture, Andy. I'm sorry. I didn't—" My voice trailed off, helpless. The boy's hand was still on my shoulder. He let it drop and knelt in the grass, groping there for his camera. "That's all right, Mike," he said in a dead voice. "You scared the daylights out of me, that's all." He stood up swiftly, looking straight into my face. "Darn it, Mike, you've been acting crazy for a week. I don't mind the blamed camera, but when you start going for eagles with your bare hands—" Abruptly he flung the camera away, turned and began to run down the slope in the direction of the cabin. I took a step to follow, then stopped, bending to retrieve the broken pieces of Andy's cherished camera. The kid must have hit the eagle with it. Lucky thing for me, an eagle can be a mean bird. But why in the living hell had I done a thing like that? I'd warned Andy time and time again to stay clear of the big birds. Now that the urgency of action had deserted me, I felt stupid and a little light-headed. I didn't wonder Andy thought I was crazy. I thought so myself more than half the time. I stowed the broken camera in my tackle box, mentally promising Andy a better one. Hunted up the abandoned lines and poles, carefully stowed them, cleaned our day's catch. It was dark before I started for the cabin. I could hear the hum of the electrodynamo I'd rigged up and see the electric light across the dusk of the Sierras. A smell of bacon greeted me as I crossed into the glare of the unshielded bulb. Andy was standing at the cook stove, his back stubbornly to me. He did not turn. "Andy," I said, "it's okay."